Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la ciudad del sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas son win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. Las familias se escuchan los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor.
Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody. Are you still hearing the song?
No.
But your mic does sound weird.
You are live, and you sound a little strange, your microphone, but you are live. Hello, everybody.
What? Ashley is so confused right now.
Yeah, well,
we're live. We're good. Oh, there we go.
Let me rejoin. Dion, kick us off.
Okay, cool. All right. Welcome, everybody. First and foremost, we are a live podcast that sometimes has technical difficulties, but that's okay. We're going to get through them. It's not a big issue.
It's the beauty of being live.
So we're not always live, so we don't always have to deal with this, but it just so happens that today, that is the case. But as always, we'll get through it. So today, Inter Miami midweek show. It's always exciting. Every week, we get to do a midweek show and talk about everything that's going on. And as always, with Inter Miami, don't call us drama queens or anything, but there's always something going on with us.
There's always drama.
It's like a telenovela here. So we got an ass whooping to talk about. Unfortunately, not us.
Yeah, man.
Not us giving it, but on the receiving end, we also got to talk about players leaving. So a lot to talk about as we wait for Ash to settle in there and figure out what's going on.
Welcome back.
Good, Ash. Welcome back.
Let me tell you why I'm in.
Okay, there she goes. There she goes again.
This is a great start. It's probably the best start that we have to an episode ever. But we do have a lot to talk about. We have that Orlando loss that we have to give our opinions about. Huge updates on some transfers coming in and out of the club, and of course we'll dive into some messy rumors, even in some Depaul news that happened this morning in training. If you guys want to touch on that first, or whichever one you want to start on, but we'll start off. I think we said we agreed on the Orlando game, right? So we can give our opinions on the Orlando game. I don't know how aggressive actually you're gonna come into this, but
you're gonna be more aggressive than me. I can already tell. Also, because when we were texting in our group chat, I can tell that you are going to be a lot more aggressive than I am. I'm gonna bring a little bit of level-headedness, and you're gonna bring a bit more of the passion.
Okay, let me start off with the aggressiveness, and then you can calm everybody down with your with your passiveness.
All right, let's do it.
Like, okay, so literally the only way I can really talk about this game or like express my opinions and my passion, my emotions about this game is the fact that it was just so what is it?
Wait, I was going to tell you before you get into it, I won't give my opinion yet.
Okay.
Can I really quickly, like in 60 seconds, frame the game? That way you
okay,
can.
Okay, let's frame the game. Okay, you're right. Let's frame
it. Let me frame the game really, like 60 seconds, not a deep dive.
Set me up.
And then you go in there and then I'll go ahead. So first of all, it starts off with huge game, obviously, versus Orlando. Inter Miami and Orlando, both in League's Cup, both make it out of the top four of the MLS standing. So they're both going into the quarterfinals now. Both have had a pretty crazy schedule, more so Inter Miami has a bit more of a heavier schedule than Orlando City, but they both go in there this time. No Messi going into Orlando City. Mm-hmm. And it goes a little bit like this. Minute two, Orlando scores. Muriel and Ojeda combined together to score. It's something I feel like happened the entire night, where you had Ojeda, you had Muriel, you had Freeman, you had other players that were combining down the middle, right? So it just so happens, first goal, minute two, they go up early 1-0. Then minute four, Inter Miami comes right back within a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. I believe it was
minute eight with a bright golazo.
Was it minute eight? Yeah.
Minute okay. eight. That's what I got minute here. Eight. Minute eight, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, minute eight angry. Golazo from Yannick Bright. Yeah.
Do you want to okay, know you're why back. So
we're I going over the
up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we can hear you. I was just going over the game real quick. And then you guys are gonna give your thoughts. So minute four, okay, no, minute eight rather. You have De Paul that tries to put in a center into the area. I believe it bounces off an Orlando player. And then Telasco Segovia is able to put in a center off of the rebound that gets, I think, punched out by the goalkeeper, goes outside of the area, and Yannick Bright just absolutely rips it or curls it into the goal. Beautiful goal. 1-1. Then minute 34, Ustari has a really good save off of a header, off of a set piece. It seems like we continue to kind of have issues with set pieces, but he has a great save. Then minute 49, unfortunately, Muriel kind of destroys Alba down that left, the left side. Alba kind of out of position, but helping out on defense in there. He has a 1-1 versus Muriel. Muriel absolutely takes him and then scores. So they're up 2-1. We go into the second half, down 2-1. Kind of even if you want to consider it going into the second half, but then the second half just we completely look really bad. Second half, mm-hmm. Ojeda going into the second half shortly in there scores the third goal. He kind of beats Busquets down the right, and then he faces up against him. Jordi Alba comes back to help a little late, a little too late, unfortunately, and then Ojeda gets a shot to the near post that probably should have been saved by Ustari. So that
eventually.
And then there was another dangerous play where Ojeda combines with Angulo and he kind of burns Busquets down the middle, but Ustari gets the save. Minute 66, Suarez almost scores from half field. Pretty crazy. That's where Galesi almost gets injured, or rather gets injured, but I believe he keeps playing. And then lastly, minute 87, Alex Freeman with the one-touch pass to a cutting in Marco Palis. I'm probably going to butcher his name, Pasilic, who scores. He first misses it and then gets the ball back, and Noah Allen just poor defending on that one, and he's able to score 4-1. So that's kind of how the game went. Thoughts, Matt, and then Ash, if you want to take over after that.
Wait, really quick before you go, Matt, I just want to tell you guys why I'm an idiot. Reason why I was having such difficulty with this is because I had the YouTube open on three different tabs to make sure it was working. Didn't close them on any of my work computers. So I was just hearing repeating of us over and over again. And so I thought something was wrong. And so I had to go through every single link on my work computer and get rid of every YouTube and Twitter link so that we
didn't
only
hear us like a million times.
And that's why you're a host and not a sound engineer or backstage engineer or anything like
but
that.
But you can hear me fine and we're good.
Now we hear you good.
Perfect. Okay, great. Right before we get to Matt. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Messi & Co. I'm sure Gian said that. This episode is going to be full of really exciting stuff, crazy action happening, players moving, reactions to loss. When is Messi back? Gian's already given his opinion. Matt, what are your thoughts on the game? Boom. I'm still here, bitches.
Yeah, no, well said. There was a lot of emotions going in that last derby. It's the Florida Derby. It's a lot of hype around it. The fact that Messi not being there really wanted to make us play well against them, because obviously Orlando is a good team. They have great players and they have just as difficult of a schedule, in their season as well. But they were ready. They were 100% ready for that game. They were going in, kind of guns blazing, scoring in the first, second minute. And then from there, they just kind of set the momentum and the pace of the game on their terms. There was almost at no point in the game where Inter Miami kind of made it to where they had control of the game. They wanted to control the pacing of the game. We had obviously Bright's absolute banger, and I'm very, very happy for him. I'm sure we all are, because him getting his first goal for the club, and after having a fantastic, not just season, but ever since he stepped foot on the pitch, he's been a phenomenal and a fan favorite. So I'm really happy that he got that moment. Yeah. But in terms of the rest of the team, it was just absolutely embarrassing. It was subpar. It was honestly a huge, huge disappointment from everybody on that field on, you know, and that night. And yeah, there's just no excuse. We got absolutely ripped to shreds. Our defense was exposed. Falcón looked completely lost.
Worst Ustari was game of the season for sure.
Ustari's back, you know, back from his injury. He looked like he forgot how to defend his own post.
He looked like he didn't deserve to get to start back right away after Rios Novos. And I'm a really big believer that, like, if you earn your place and you play well and you show it, that there needs to be a reason outside of just, oh, the starter's ready for you to come out. I think that's how players grow. And, like, you'll see the best coaches in the world, unless it's, like, your absolute star player. You know, they will sometimes wait a little when someone is injured and makes their comeback. They'll do it slowly because they're like, the person who's replaced you has played well, so we don't need to make a change that minute. And that's a Mascherano mistake, because you're right, Ustari looked flat on his feet the whole entire game, not good footwork, etc. A couple of funny comments we're getting, though, that I want to read about the Orlando one that made me laugh. Marsh Madness, that's brilliant. I mean, we're not in March, but as an American, I think that's a very funny comment. Send him bags of caca. Well, that's a decision you can make. A couple of things I wanted to talk about from the game. I'm going to pull in some direct quotes here from post game. During his press conference after the match, Inter Miami head coach Mascherano called the result painful. He accepted blame for the loss, which he rightly deserved, but he was clearly frustrated with his players' performance. And then Inter Heron, who is who I'm looking at right now, says also rightly. And I think that's an important thing for us to talk about, because a lot of times what we like to do is say, oh, Mascherano made the mistakes. He picked the wrong lineups. He picked the wrong subs. He did, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that can and is true at times. But this was a game, and I think this was a good comment that I think explains it well. I think most of our players are absolutely exhausted, and they've had a difficult run of form. They just got, you know, one of the best midfielders in the world. They know internally, we're going to talk about it after, about the players coming in and out, or at least out. But, you know, they knew there was some internal frustration happening. They knew Lionel Messi was out. They knew they had just had to win an extreme game to make it to the quarterfinals. So I think it's a match where calling it painful is fair, because it's painful for the coach because he made some tactical errors. But it's painful for the players because the players did not, I think, you know, live up to their moment. Mm-hmm. I think both can be true.
Yeah, this game was painful. I mean, that was a great way to describe it. I was in pain. without Messi, I think Mascherano did a good job of the players that he put on the pitch. Honestly, I think that was probably the stronger lineup that we could have come out with. So I don't have too much of a problem with that. I think this is one of those games where it was more on the players than it was the coaching. And in my perspective, I look at players one by one, and to me, most of them underperformed in this game. And
listen to this quote really quickly, because I want to say this quote because it ties in perfectly with what you're about to say, and it'll make more sense if I say it first. Directly from Mascherano. There was only one team on the field, Orlando. We did not play with intensity that was needed for this game, and they were superior from the first minute until the last. More importantly, football is about tactic, organization, and talent. Those are the things that we blame on Mascherano. But it's also 1v1. I'm better than you and have the hunger and desire to beat you. And sadly, a lot of our players haven't shown that. So now that kind of ties in to what you're saying.
Yeah, the players just didn't show up, honestly. And it's just one of those games. And I think that I'm not going to overreact to this Orlando game. I think if I know that there have been games where the team played poor, not as poor as this one. And I think that this is more an outlier than anything else. I will agree that the team was exhausted, but I don't know how much of that is really having to impact the performance that we saw from the team in this game. But you look at players that you usually depend on, and they just weren't up to their game. Maxi Falcón, some may disagree with me, but in my opinion, he's our best defender. He was getting beat the entire game by Muriel. He was getting beat by anybody going down the middle by Ojeda. Same thing with Busquets. Busquets is a guy you can usually rely on. Even though he may not have the speed, he usually has the ability to position himself in a way that he can be impactful and defend well. Same thing. Even Yannick Bright at times, as well as Maxi Falcón, were getting beat down the middle by Muriel, Ojeda, Angulo, Freeman, like different players at different times. And I think that, to me, that was one of the biggest things. Like, I don't know how much Messi would have made a difference in that perspective, in the fact that we defended so poorly. Obviously, we probably would have gotten another goal or two because of him. And maybe that probably would have changed the posture of Orlando, right? Maybe they couldn't attack with as many people, knowing that they would have to keep an eye on Messi and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, I feel like even if Messi was in this game, while we would have had a better chance, the incredibly poor defending that we had from our midfield down, I think was the reason why we lost this game. And it begs the question, with still time on the transfer market, do we still need to look for another, you know, another center back there? And there have been some rumors that maybe we'll touch on now or in another episode. But yeah, it was just unfortunate.
It was an unfortunate game and performance. I think I wanted to show this clip, but there's this ad happening that's kind of bothering me.
Can I have to say that? Sorry, with Ustari, like, Ustari, obviously we got scored on four times, but if it wasn't for Ustari, we would have gotten scored on another three or four. Like, Ustari also had good saves. So we have to be fair. And say there are both sides of the coin, and Ustari had some great saves. Yeah, he missed that one where he had where he had that one on his post that he should have saved. But at the same time, he saved like three or four.
Okay. All right. So check this out. I agree, by the way, with that. I think, tired is not an issue. Orlando played same games as we played. Well, that's not necessarily, I mean, it's true in some sense, but we are still three games behind. Most, we may be two behind them that may have played because they're also going to be in the League's Cup. But, none of them played in the Club World Cup. And the intensity of that month really can't be understated. It really can't. But we have a lot to talk about, obviously, like I said. Before we get to the new team players, new signings, new tradings, all that stuff, let's start with a little bit of a Messi update, okay? So the question on everyone's mind is obviously, when will he return? So Marca, which is, I think, a pretty reputable source in South America. Do you guys agree with that or no?
Marca, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So basically, and we already knew this, but I think it's a good thing to just kind of remind ourselves and think about evaluating. Ignore the middle part of the video because it's not relevant, but the first part's interesting. Lionel Messi's return will be on an MLS match day, not the League's Cup. So that's interesting. That's a strong statement to make. Obviously, medical discharge and everything will respond to treatment. So far, we know it's a minor injury, and we know that it's more likely than not he'll be ready for Tigres. The question is, will he be fit to play and get some playing time in the match prior? Because as we know about Lionel Messi, is that he does not like to avoid being off the field. And so just basically what it says here, and I think it's true, obviously he didn't play Orlando City, but next week, he should be medically cleared, meaning this week, as all goes well, we'll continue with our up-to-date information. He should be medically cleared with the idea, and which I agree is on the ideal setting, is that we will be hosting the worst team in MLS, the LA Galaxy, next Saturday. With that, I'm going to ask you guys now to, and now I'm going to close this out, and then I'm going to, so this was just me kind of giving, you know, where we're at, where we think we're going. Also remember, just he's been playing at the most ridiculously high level, and you know, I don't want to say deserves a break, and I don't mean anything like that, but like, he's just playing at such an unreasonable level that it's, you know, crazy how quickly he recovers and how quickly he is. We'll wait to see. But I'm going to present you with three options, and I want each of you to answer it and tell me why. Option one, he plays the full 90 against LA Galaxy. Option two, he plays 60 minutes for LA. Option two, he plays only 30 minutes. He comes in the second half. Option three, he doesn't play at all against LA Galaxy and starts with Tigres. If those were the only three options, which one do you choose and why?
What do you think, Matt?
See, I'm killing being a host. You guys are welcome. Like,
I'm trying to think, because I think Messi is a thing. I forget who said it, but Messi said in the past, or somebody said that Messi said in the past, that him not playing games hurts him more than helps him. So maybe him playing against LA Galaxy wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But I would like it for us not to risk it if we don't have to. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, if Messi's up to it and he's willing to play, and I think he knows his body, he knows his situation. He's been dealing with it for a really long time. So if he knows that he's able to participate and play in the game, and he'll know he'll give us 100%, then I don't see why not, because I know for a fact he'll be ready for that Tigres game no matter what.
Messi's got to play 90 minutes, man. He's got to play 90. He's really,
you think it's going to be optional? You think he's going to play the full game Saturday?
100%. If Messi plays, he's not leaving. It's just like that. And Mascherano, like, the only one that dictates when Messi's going to play and how long Messi's going to play and when Messi rests is Messi. And Mascherano's not going to dictate that. The medical staff is not going to dictate that. The Mas brothers and Beckham are not going to dictate that. Probably not even Antonella is going to dictate that. It's going to be Messi. and we've seen that. And if he can play, he's going to play. If he's plays at the from the, if he starts, which is all, I mean, basically always, he goes throughout the entirety of the game. And what did we see? We saw Messi get into rhythm finally. He was looking good. He was not having any issues with injuries. Then, because of the stupid MLS All-Star game, he gets suspended, misses the game against Cincinnati. And then what happens? He gets injured. And that's what happens when you take him out of rhythm. One of the best things that can happen to any player.
He always says that.
Especially when you deal with injuries that seem to be chronic injuries, is once you find a rhythm, once you find once you have your body in a good setting, any type of tinkering from the way you practice to the amount of times that you practice to the minutes that you play in a game, any tweaking of that can completely mess you up. And I think that while you can't 100% prove it, I think that that's why Messi got injured. And Messi does best when he's playing 90. There's no such thing as resting Messi right now. And I think 90 is the best thing for him, for the team, and for his continuity. So there's no reason not to do it.
Okay. So, Matt, you say three. You say hold off and wait until League's Cup, if it was your choice. Gian, you said 90 minutes from LA Galaxy.
I just want to say something about Ace. Ace says that's where the coaches need to step up and do their jobs and stop the player from themselves. Okay, I 100% agree with that statement.
That's a fair comment, yeah?
No, yeah, but I 100% agree with that statement. And you know when that happened with Messi? Probably up until he left Barcelona. PSG. Once he left it, that ceased to exist. Why? Because Messi is bigger than MLS. Messi is bigger than Mas brothers and Beckham. And whether you agree with that or not, it is a truth. And you know how we know that? Because of the way Inter Miami operates. Because of everything that they've done from bring his friends to not only play, but now apparently coach, to moving front office staff simply because they looked at him wrong on a bus. It's just everything that they've done has been to appeal to him. And no coach at this point, especially not his friend, is going to step up and tell him what to do. But I do agree with that. Is it the right thing to do? Yes. Why? Because every player, for the most part, is going to want to play, even if they're injured. That's where medical staff and the coaches step in and have to say, you're not going to protect yourself. You're not going to look out for yourself. But it's my job as your coach to make sure that you are available to play as long as possible and healthy. So, yes, that's how it should be. Keep your fingers crossed and keep wishing, but that's not going to happen with Messi.
Yeah. I mean. Well, so, and I mean, Matt, look, I think it's also a fair thing to say because, one, I mean, if Messi played Saturday, I'm sure he'd be happy as a clam. But also, we saw last season, for the first time really in a while in Messi's career, that he had an injury crisis where he had consistent issues that were kind of compounding. Like, one thing happened, it got fixed, he went back, it led to another. Like, and that was really the first time that's ever happened, I think, in a while. So people were nervous. This year, as we've seen, minus the beginning where I think there was one or two matches he missed. I mean, let's remember, last 16 matches, it was or like, what was it, like 7 goal contributions or something crazy, right? Like, or 9 or something like that. So I think it's a fair point. I think this, to your point, Gian Ash says, Messi needs minutes before League's Cup game. 100% needs me, because this game is going to be as intense as it gets, especially since it's against an MLS team, an in-state rival that just kicked our ass again. So huge stakes, huge moment. I agree. And because of that, I, and this is very like our show, is I'm going to disagree with both of you, and I'm going to go with option 2, which is, I think, in my world, in my scenario, is that he should come on and play for the second half. As soon as the second half starts, he begins his warm-up, and around the 55th to 60th minute, he comes in, plays out the rest of the game, gets his legs. You know, Messi has always said he doesn't like being subbed off. He's more comfortable being subbed on. So I agree that I think if he gets medically cleared this week, he needs to play minutes on Saturday. I just think there'll be second half minutes. If he's in the starting lineup, I will be as happy as anyone. I'll be nervous, but I'll be happy. But the truth to be told is that, just like you said, Messi knows himself best and knows his condition best, and he'll know what will be the right decision. I think all 3 options are viable. If I were a betting man, I'd probably say, like, if the over-under is 1 minute of Messi playing, I would take the over. Because whether he starts or if he comes off the bench, if he's medically cleared, I think he's going to play, just knowing that next Wednesday is going to be such an intense game. But we'll see. Matt, maybe he goes, maybe they go for safety. Maybe they go for, great, you're medically cleared, we'll have a hard week of training for you, and next Wednesday you bring it all out. 100% a possibility. We'll wait and see. But a lot of great comments on it. I think there's been a lot of good opinions. And I'm excited for Saturday because Messi, regardless, this team needs to bounce back. We know now, and what we're about to discuss is the loss of 2 players who were very important in recent Inter Miami history and what it means for the lineup and the team moving forward. So, are we ready to transition into that discussion?
Let's do it. I think everybody in the comments are wanting to talk about this too. So
we're ready. Let's do it. So we're going to start at the back end, which is, and by the way, I need to figure out a better way to do this, Matt, or you may need to help me with this, Gian, because when I do this, it works, but it cuts you off. So maybe
I'm hidden.
Wait, I may be able to, wait a second. Nope, not that one. But this one may be able to fix it. Ready? Boom. Okay. That's how I have to do it. So, because I want you to be seen.
Thank you.
So I just remind me, overlay. If we have to click off overlay when we share things.
Sure.
Okay. Also, remind us in the comments.
I'll remember that, Mike.
All right. So, from Sports Illustrated, even though maybe we all saw it coming, maybe, I mean, in the back of our head, we're all like, especially after Rios Novos the last couple of weeks having some pretty damn good performances, we all have been kind of like, what is going to be the deal with Drake Callender? Like, I didn't have a clear-cut answer. But now we do. And as it says here, Inter Miami agreed to shock trade, sending Drake Callender to Eastern Conference rival Charlotte FC. Before you guys give your thoughts, can you hear me, by the way? I thought it cut out for a second. You can hear me?
No, you're good.
Okay, cool. So before it gets into that, a couple of details I want to talk about. This is what I think is interesting. Seemingly out of nowhere, Inter Miami have parted ways with Drake, starting goalkeeper during Miami's two trophy lifts, of course, including that amazing penalty save against Nashville for the League's Cup. According to Give Me Sport, Charlotte FC and Miami reached this agreement with Callender joining. But Tom Bogert, who, as we know, is one of the better MLS reporters in the league and has good information, has said the goalkeeper had no knowledge of his new destination and wasn't part of the trade process. That is very interesting to me. So with that in mind, I guess my question for you is a couple of things. So I'm going to remove this because we don't need that anymore. And I'm going to add back the overlay because I am really good at producing. So, boom. A couple of things I think we should talk about. Number one, sad to see Drake go because he produced a lot of great moments for us, obviously. When a lot of our team was bad, he showed up and made a lot of things happen, you know, to save us in multiple situations, homegrown, I think, or maybe, I don't know if he's homegrown, actually. He's, but I know he's U.S. men's national team. That amazing penalty for the League's Cup. Overall, one of the best last year, like, even in the last years, I'd say his passing game, oh, it wasn't always great. His going forward wasn't always great. But I'd say he was still one of the top 10 shot stoppers in the league. He was a great stop shopper, like, went straight up, great shot stopper. So it's sad to see him go. With Ustari and Rios Novos, I guess the plan is that's enough, and that there are other positions that need to be filled. So I guess my question to you is two parts. Part one, just overall feelings about Drake, seeing him go, you know, if you think if it was the right or wrong decision, and then how you feel about the part that he didn't know about it, essentially, and it was kind of just like happened, because that part is what surprises me. So I'm interested to hear what you guys think about that.
Well, for my thoughts on my feelings or opinions on overall on this trade is I don't think it's surprising in the slightest, to be honest. I think we all knew it was coming at some point. The only thing that kind of surprises me is the fact that it happened now in the summertime and not at the end of the season. But I mean, we all knew that Drake was kind of heading out the door with Ustari continuously getting game time and to be fair, won that starting position over him. And, you know, he underwent surgery and it was out for a really long time. And it just really was unlikely what his future was at the club. And I thought a sale was brewing. Like, I thought imminent. A trade was imminent. It was absolutely imminent. So I think in the manner of how the trade happened, if it is reported if it did happen as it was reported, Drake not being involved in the trade, Drake not being at least put any, like, given any input on where he would want to go or where he could be going or anything like that, I think that's a little messed up. I know that's a very American way because of the trading, you know, in American sports and baseball and football, you just kind of trade people. But in soccer, that's just not how we do things. And I think that's a little bit a little bit unprofessional, in my opinion. I really wish, especially because he's been here since the beginning. He worked up from playing in the B team. I think he has over 100 appearances for the club. One of the only players to have over 100 appearances. One of the OGs. The last OG.
Very long time.
118.
Yeah. 118. So he has 118. One of the last OG from what is it, the 2020 season. To, you know, at the club outside of Taylor and Campana and all them. So I think that part's a little bit messed up. I thought Drake Callender was a great servant to the club. I thought he represented the badge well. And yes, he had those stints. Yeah. I think he had those great stints at Leeds Cup in 2023. But then after that, it just kind of was very questionable because of the integration of Ustari. But so it sucks on the way it went, but hopefully. I mean, I don't know. I know he's going to Charlotte, and they have probably, I think, the best keeper in the MLS, or what was the best keeper in the MLS, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And so if he's going to a club with the best keeper in the world or in the league, I don't know. We'll see if we can get some game time or at least be competitive enough to fight for it. But if not,
hopefully he can work his way back. I think he has great natural talent, great consistency, team player. Gian, what about you?
I think it's interesting, the reporting that he was surprised, because I think that if he's surprised, does that mean that maybe there were conversations behind the scenes with him and with Inter Miami brass that maybe led him to believe that he was still on the plans?
Or going somewhere else?
No, because it seems maybe I'm interpreting it differently, but that he was surprised that he was even leaving, like more than anything.
Right. Yeah. So
I feel that if there were conversations behind the scenes with Inter Miami brass that maybe led him to believe that he was still within the team and Mascherano's plans, then I can understand him being surprised. Now, if there were no conversations like that being held, then I don't understand how he was surprised, because. What is the saying that something the tea leaves? I don't even know. That's an American.
Read the tea leaves.
Yeah, something like that. Like there were things that were going on that should not have surprised them that he was on the way out.
Yeah.
In any case, he should have had his bags packed and his U-Haul ready, knowing way in advance that this was going to happen. In reality, Inter Miami made their choice a while ago, and it was pretty clear he was injured. Then Ustari takes the starting spot. Rios Novo starts to get more playing time. He's looking better. He's developing. Then they go and extend Ustari. I mean, that kind of leaves no room to be surprised.
He leaves. Yeah,
that means there's no reason to be surprised in that sense. I think what was more surprising for me, and this was already in the past, is the fact that they extended Ustari. I think that was probably not the best decision. I think they should have probably rode with Callender. He's still a young guy, a guy that maybe doesn't have the footwork that Ustari brings, but he's definitely had the shot-stopping ability. And I think that when you have a defense that maybe isn't the best in the league and has had leaky issues, you need a guy that has a better shot-stopping ability than a guy that is better with his feet, especially when you have Rodrigo de Paul and Busquets and Suarez now being used as a playmaker and Messi. Like, you need more of a shot-stopping ability. So that's kind of like what I think. It's a little surprising that, no pun intended, that he is surprised. But I think it was the right move by Inter Miami, given the decisions that they have made, right? Not in totality the right decision, because they should have kept him instead of Ustari, instead of extending him. But the fact that they chose that path, it made no sense to have Callender just sitting around, especially when Rios Novo is there and the money that you have tied up with him. Granted, it wasn't the most, but it was about $500,000 in annual compensation that you have. So, yeah, it was the right decision given the circumstances and given the direction in which they wanted to go. Now, regarding that him not knowing where he's going, that's... like Matt said, that's American sports for you. It's not like the rest of the world where first you have to come to an agreement with the club. And then once you come to financial agreement with the club, then you have to consult with the player. That doesn't exist. And I think it's the right way to approach things. MLS should at some point figure that out, but probably not. But at the end of the day, a guy that the fans loved, a guy that was a big part of Inter Miami's supporter shield. Leagues Cup. He was a runner-up for goalkeeper of the year in 2022. 214 goals conceded across, but 21 clean sheets. 27 years old. He had appearances with the U.S. men's national team. So, I mean, it's not a whatever guy that's leaving. A guy that was here from the beginning and a guy that fans are probably going to love, that are going to miss. But good for him in his career. You have an opportunity to get more minutes now.
Exactly. Wish him well. All right. Right before we transition, because I think a lot of people agree. I think, and this was a good point. This is not the main point, but this was what I think is probably true from Ace Lionel. The owners made their mind up before Drake's injury that they were moving on. I think how they did it and with who and what the plan was changed because he got injured in preseason. But I agree. I think knowing what was important for them to bring in and what is important for them to continue to bring in and to build.
Look, Ash, this is a decision that the team has made given the moment that they're living in. And the decision that they've made is knowing that this is a win now team. This is a win now moment. This is Messi.
Well, has I mean, technically, you have now hopefully two more years as win now, but you want someone better and more established. So, like, you needed to rip the band-aid.
But what they're doing is two things. Number one, they're surrounding Messi with players that he feels good around, and yep. it just so happens that he feels good around Argentinian players. And well, so that's number one.
Maybe not. We're about to talk about that too.
And then the second thing is they're building this team around experienced players. So yep. that's what they've decided. Those two things.
I think that's the key one. Experience, 100%. Last comment about this, because I think this is just a brilliant question. Ash Pritam, I don't know where you're from. You can shout out where you're from. You've been an OG. You ask great questions. You give great comments. What Drake song best fits Callender's departure? What a question.
Laugh Now, Cry Later, maybe?
It's a good one. Okay.
My feelings? more about the club. More about the club situation than Drake, but I do AF. Like, I don't get enough.
And then what was the motto? Because you know what? Like, YOLO is what he has to think now. He needs to be in the YOLO mindset of you only live once. This is take my next opportunity and yeah. make the most of it, right?
Yeah.
So that was a great question. There you go. And to be fair, as you can tell, I'm a Taylor girl more than a Drake girl. We are who we are. Last topic to talk about, which will, I think, kind of tie into the last, which is like, how do we think we're going to form up after it? But wow, this is really a big one. I'm going to do my new best friend, because you guys tell me, do you like yet when I'm sharing these pieces that we can read off of and use from these credible sources? I feel like it's a cool way to incorporate news and not just show us.
Yeah.
Cool. So here we go. Federico Redondo is set to join La Liga's Elche. Is that how you pronounce it?
Elche.
Elche on a permanent transfer, with the player currently in Spain to complete the deal, a source said. So he's left Miami and he is in Spain based on ESPN sources. This is a really complicated mixed bag, a lot to think about, a lot to talk about as it relates to this. A couple of things that I think are important. Obviously, initially, what are some things you think of when you think of Federico Redondo? Number one, obviously from Argentina. Number two, obviously an incredibly famous father who was an amazing player for Real Madrid. Young, ready to show himself. Seemingly perfect to fit into what we have with Messi. But in the end, I think these are some interesting stats. And to be fair to us and to most Inter Miami fans, I think everyone has been incredibly fair about Federico Redondo. I think we've said moments where he's played well and he's learned and adjusted. And I think we've also been very clear when there have been moments that he is not. And in his 60 appearances across all competition, he totaled 2 goals and 4 assists. To be fair, not asking him to be our striker, but it's fair to say that overall, if you're rating on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, maybe somewhere between like a 4 and a 7, as opposed to what we were hoping for, which would be an 8, 9, or 10. So, it was first reported. Obviously, we already talked about a calendar, but this is a huge deal because it's a huge deal for a couple of reasons. And I think this is actually perhaps the most important or most interesting part of it. And maybe it's silly. It's a theory that no one cares about. But this is a young Argentine player who was clearly brought in as part of Messi, like, you know, part of the deal. Messi has known was made was like, I don't want to be with people I'm comfortable with and people I want to mentor and learn. And obviously a lot of that means they'll be from Argentina. Let's call a spade a spade. Not every player in our team is from Argentina. They're not. Lots of other players, and he gives them, like, Noah Allen. I can name a lot. Like, some are from Uruguay, USA, etc. Gives them just as much credit. However, I think it makes a statement because Redondo, especially compared to Yannick Bright, who is now healthy and better, and with the addition of Rodrigo De Paul, there was absolutely no place for him that would make sense. And if it was going to become a battle of Redondo versus Bright, I would have been pretty unhappy because, as we saw with this game, even though we lost to Orlando, Yannick Bright has his ceiling and his skill set is so much higher. And if there was anyone who deserved to play with Busi and Rodrigo De Paul, and, you know, obviously Segovia, there'll be rotations, there'll be different moments, etc., it was Yannick Bright. So someone in that midfield group needed to go, knowing that some were, of course, going to stay. And I think he was one of them. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Federico Redondo no longer being a part of Inter Miami?
It's about time. No, I'm kidding.
And what does it mean to the future of this, like the immediate future of what and how it will affect the team and the lineups?
To be honest, it surprises me a little bit. Like, this, there's like the slightest bit of surprise in me about this move because of the fact that he was given so many opportunities and he was always given the benefit of the doubt by Mascherano, by Tata Martino. He was always given the chance, and rightfully so. When you pay $8 million for a center mid, when you pay $8 million for a center mid from Argentino Juniors, the son of Fernando Redondo, you expect a lot. You expect a lot, not just from the fee that you pay, but from his salary and from his history. And he simply just did not fulfill, in my opinion. He didn't fulfill his role. He didn't fulfill his expectations. I don't think he just lived up to it. And despite being here for two seasons now, I think he could have done a lot more. I think he could have adapted at least this season. This season could have been, the year where, okay, I've adapted already. I know what we're gonna do. I've been with these guys for a year, but let's lock in. But he didn't. It's now we have Rodrigo De Paul. Yannick Bright is still doing his thing. We even have players like Benfica Grimaki
who's playing in the midfield. By Ace Lionel, who I think usually puts good things. I totally disagree. I mean, unless you're talking purely financial, the $8 million in the contract, Yannick Bright is better than Redondo in literally every single metric.
Oh, and I think he means like getting a move to Europe. Because
I see what you're saying. Me like going to a different, like bigger, yeah, better.
Like getting an opportunity to play
from that perspective, maybe. But in terms of like, if you were gonna keep one, it's Yannick Bright every single time.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that Redondo's a terrible player. I'll end it with this. I don't think he's a terrible player. I still think he has potential to be a great player. Maybe it just wasn't the right team for him. Maybe he was forced into a system, forced into a team where he just couldn't fit and couldn't adapt to. And hopefully wherever else he goes, if that is Elche, if that's another team in Spain or back in Argentina, hopefully he can adapt well and fulfill that potential to be the best player that he can be. But just unfortunately, that just wasn't at Inter Miami. So I wish him the best.
The the rare move from Argentinos Juniors to La Liga by underperforming in MLS. That's a wild story, huh?
That is a wild story.
Some would only dream of that move.
I mean,
It doesn't hurt that his agent is a majority stake owner in Elche. So it's definitely the reason.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I knew there was something fishy going on.
Always something.
You should have said that before I started because I would have.
No, but you were still right.
I mean, I had to figure out. It just didn't make sense to me. I had to dig deep and say, how the heck did he make it to La Liga?
Or at least to a B side.
This is a starting La Liga side. Like, this is not the B team.
No. This is a La Liga team. Like, they will be playing. Like Redondo will be playing Real Madrid and Barcelona next season.
That's crazy.
Look, they bought him for two reasons. One, they bought his rights from Argentinos Juniors, knowing that he was a player that they could develop, or rather hoped that they could develop, that had potential. They knew it. They studied him. They liked what they saw in Argentinos Juniors. Obviously, the pedigree helps a lot, right? His father is well known.
Yep.
And they bought him for that. And they also thought that while they would develop him, that he would also bring an immediate impact to this team. And he did. Maybe not the impact we wanted. I would say from a scale of 1 to 10, being 10 was a standout player and 1 being complete flop, I'm going to go with a 5.
I think the 4 to 7 region is fair. He had ups and downs.
Yeah. I think a lot of us would agree that he underperformed. He was given numerous chances, 60 appearances. Two goals, 4 assists. He wasn't here to score goals. He was here more than anything, I think in 60 games, I would have wanted to see more assists come out of him. And we're not going to go here and pretend that, 2 goals, 4 assists, who cares? He shut the midfield down. Like, no, that didn't happen either, right? Like, there wasn't...
No, we didn't... I don't know what role he played
for our
team. He didn't have a role in our team.
Yeah,
he was just there. If you could answer that question,
you'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, so he underperformed. The hope now is, he goes over there to Elche and he does really well, and he gets sold to another team. Maybe he goes to another team in La Liga, Real Betis, somewhere that can pay more money for his rights, or maybe he goes to Premier League and he plays somewhere there.
Or French league.
And it just makes sense for Inter Miami financially, because other than that, really, I could care less. Like, I don't know the kid, and I hope well for everybody. But other than that, really, when I'm looking at it from a team perspective, what they tried to do was cut their losses. They paid $7.5 million for him. Before he continued to tank his value, they're like, whatever, $2.5 million for 50% of his pass. Hopefully he develops. And when he gets sold again, we make whatever 50% of whatever he gets sold at. So I think that's what Inter Miami did right here. Number two, they brought in Rodrigo De Paul. As we said with Ustari, they're trying to build an experienced team. Rodrigo De Paul comes in, no more room for Redondo with the amount of money that he's making, his annual compensation. You already have Yannick Bright behind. You also have Kremaski, who you committed to for even more years. You extended him last season. So there was really an underperforming midfielder who was making a good amount of money. You have Rodrigo De Paul and 2 people behind him. Just made no sense to keep him here. Good luck to him, especially for Inter Miami. Hopefully they can make some money off of him. Yeah, se acabó.
Agreed. And I think it also shows, actually, in my opinion, another example of the MLS front office really trying to make positive, quick decisions. Obviously, Rodrigo De Paul was a far larger example, but you know, the moves they've made this season have been quick, agile, and their thoughts are, all we care about is how can we have the best team on the pitch to win the most trophies. And I think the money and all those things are parts of it, but it's not like other clubs waiting around to try and get the best financial moment. You know, they're like, we know our pecking order right now. We know that Yannick Bright, Gremaski, Segovia, Busquets, DePaul, like they are all like, I think are better, right? In different ways. And, you know, we'll all be getting their chances and their moves. So we'll see what happens.
Jorge Mas owns Real Zaragoza. They're in League Two. They're not in the main league right now. So who knows? Maybe there's a connection later on down the line. But I think more than anything, they probably just want to try to recoup as much as they can. So if they have and a bigger offer, they'll send them away.
Move on knowing that Yannick Bright is better and the other players that they have are better and do more. And in the end of the game, in the end of the day, to win a soccer game, you have to have the best players playing the best. Just like I said from that Marca interview, I think Mascherano said it best. Yeah, there's tactics, there's strategy, there's talent, but every single thing is one versus one, and who's going to win it? And Inter Miami and the front office right now are trying to choose as much as possible for players who will win their 1v1 in every state of the match. Okay, well, on that note.
Sorry, let me just talk to this really quick. So if you're speaking directly, like in reference to Redondo for DePaul, 100 times over 100 times, like if you're talking about maybe just in general, as a general practice, maybe not. It depends on the player. But if you're switching out Redondo for DePaul, it doesn't matter that he's 32. We're not talking about Rodri DePaul at 37, 38. And you're talking about Redondo that is not the youngest cat
either. 22.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like an 18-year-old phenom or something. You know?
Right. So. Agreed. Okay. Well, boys, I thought that was a really great episode. I think it was a good catch up. Got to go over a lot of topics. I apologize for my own ridiculous technical disabilities for the beginning of this because it was just me listening to myself in four separate YouTube links. Great on that. But, you know, we will be doing a preview episode. That's why we didn't want to go too much into what lineups and subs and stuff may change with these new players and Messi's availability, all those things to keep into consideration for the rest of this week. But we will be having a preview episode for the LA Galaxy game Saturday at 7:30. It will either come out Friday or Saturday. We will let you know when it gets closer. I know it's Wednesday, so it's close. But to know for sure, make sure you are following us on X, formerly Twitter, at Messi and Co. Subscribe on YouTube at 5 Reasons Football. Look, guys, every time you like or you comment on a tweet, and if you turn on your notification bell on YouTube, all of those little things make a huge difference in us in growing our audiences, growing opportunities to work with people, and continue doing what we love. Hopefully we're about to hear, you know, that it's official, that Messi is signed for another 3 years at Inter Miami. And we've loved every minute of it and being with you as a community. So we only want to grow. So make sure on Twitter. We'll let you know when that next episode, the preview episode, is going to come out. Until then, for this midweek live episode of Messi and Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
Hasta luego.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.